Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The play was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I'm just reading something. This was no. Wait a minute. There we go. All right, I'm back. Let me see. I got to get back in the studio. Here we go. Okay, I'm back. Good afternoon. My name is Brian. Welcome to Hammer 96.7 Radio, Internet radio on your dial. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. Wherever you are, you're going to hit one of those categories. I'm going to give you a phone number. You're going to need it. 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number that'll come in the studio. That's the number that will get your voice heard around the world. Before we get started, I have to do some business. It's behind-the-scenes stuff. Sometimes, if you notice our show, we don't mute people. We let people talk, get out their opinions, get it off the chest. They don't have to agree with me, and I don't have to agree with them. This is a forum where we can talk. I like it. I have been invited to other blog talk shows. And they treat you like children. They mute you. They do this. And they mute you and you can't talk. You can't converse. They don't like you. They kick your ass out. I didn't want to do that because I figured they would treat you like children. But then again, they have some order. They have some order. So I don't want to do that. I'm thinking you're adults. And you should be respectful for anybody who comes in the studio with a different opinion. I don't want to be the guy to kick you out. I don't. And I'm going to say this. I have known people for a long period of time. I've been on the air for like over, 15 years, and I made friends with people. And I like them. It's hard for them to make, you know, hard for me to have people like me. Come on, you know me. You know who I am. So what do you want? So I'm asking you guys, what do you want me to do? You know, do you want me to treat you like little children? But I cannot. You know, behind every great man, there is a woman. So my girlfriend was in back of me. And I was telling her about a situation. And she says, and I was telling her about an individual. She goes, you tell him to behave himself. And if he can't behave himself, kick his ass out. I said, baby, it's not that easy. It is that easy. We need order. You tell him to behave himself. I feel like, wow. So I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. I pay for this. Anybody on Blog Talk knows that you pay for this airtime. Out of my pocket. Out of my pocket. I don't have any sponsors right now. But I do have a great person who's giving me guests. And that's another thing. Before Blog Talk used to pay for the studio because they had some AdSense and you hit an ad and then you get money. It paid for the studio time. They don't have it anymore, so it's coming out of my pocket. It's coming out of my pocket. So I could do one or two things. Either you behave yourself or I'm going to have to give you three warnings. And I'm serious. The third one, you're out for the day. You're out for the day. We have different personalities here. And I have to protect each and every client and personality. I'm just happy that they come into the show. I am. They come in with their time, and they give me their time, and I'm grateful for it. But I cannot have someone come in the show, scream at people, talk over people to a point where they have to hang up and leave the show because it's uncomfortable. I can't have that. I expect you to be an adult, control yourself, and behave. Because I don't know what else to do, but I sure don't want to lose a lot of good people. I'm not putting names in here. I'm not doing this, but you know what I'm talking about because you know who you are. Because my girlfriend yelled at me saying, he better behave. She's yelling at me. Last time she threw a socket back in my head. She gets riled up when she listens to this show. Don't you, baby? Baby?
Stop it.
She's not a fan. You said you're going to throw something? I got witnesses, baby. You're not throwing nothing. I am a man.
Stop it.
Know your place. I'm on the air.
You stop it.
She's a feminist, and like we said yesterday, feminist Nazi. She's a fem Nazi. And sometimes she treats me like a little Jewish boy.
Don't. Ow. Ow.
She threw something at me. Sorry. I am a professional. I'm on the air, lady. I'm on the air, woman. Behave yourself.
Who cares?
Everybody.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you? Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry.
To who?
To me.
Yeah.
See, I have to take care of some business, too. Sometimes you got to get the backhand at the woman. Sometimes she has to know her place.
Stop it.
I am a man at my house. I am the king of my throne.
Stop it.
She's a peasant. Little peasant girl in the village. They can't hear you. So that's the bottom line, guys. I cannot have people leave. She's riled up, and she's throwing things at me because she heard the show yesterday. And she's pissed off, and she doesn't even like the show. But sometimes she'll listen, but she doesn't want me to know she's listening. And then she'll have a talk with me later on. So if it irritated her, it could irritate somebody else. Please respect people. Any yelling and screaming, you'll get three warnings. And after the third warning, you keep doing it, I'm going to have to kick you out for today. I'm sorry. You can come back tomorrow, but you got to be respectful for people in the studio. You got to be respectful. I see the morning crews here. I'm going to say hello to Robin. Robin has an appointment, and she came in just to say hi. Robin, you don't have to stay. Thank you very much. I'm going to come in and say hello to you. And Robin, please go to your appointment. Thank you, Robin, for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just kind of almost missed what you were saying about a minute ago about not offending people.
Well, we have to, you know, people get emotional, and then there's some, and then some people get upset, and some people don't allow, you know, they get a little bit over passionate, and they can offend some people, and we have to have some kind of order.
That's true. Yeah, because you don't want to lose the audience.
Exactly. And it's even more important now because Robin, like a little bluebird of happiness. Robin has, you're welcome. She has booked so many important people that's coming on this show in the future. I mean, important people. I'm not going to say who their names are, but they're really good people. And they'll listen to the show before they come on. And we cannot have this out of order and out of control stuff because I will lose and Robin will lose good people and maybe possible good clients.
That's true. That's true.
So we have to have some more. So that's it. I'm going to go with them. This is the morning crew here. I got Melissa here, and I got Pat here. Pat's here. And Robin's here. So we have to vote on this and see if we can come to some kind of order, and let's see what they say, and we'll go on the show. Yes, Melissa. Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for coming on. And Pat's good to see you.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
Hi,
thank
Pat.
You.
Hi. Nice to see you. Hi, Robin.
Hey. Good to see y'all.
Excellent.
The morning crew's here.
God, I hate to vote.
The morning crew's here, and I always go by the morning crew. Oh. And the reason why is that they have been with me for over 5, 6, 7 years, do a lot of stuff, and I trust their judgment. What do you guys think? We got to have some kind of order. Am I correct? Help me out, ladies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yes.
So is the third rule good? Is it like I warn you 3 times? If not, I'm going to have to let you out of the studio for today. Is that a good thing or is that childish? I don't know. You have any suggestions?
No, that's
no. It'll work.
That's good.
Just stay on it.
Okay.
Most people only get one warning and then they're booted.
Yeah, I figured that they can't hear the first one. If you never know, some people they'll have to say it a couple of times. But the truth of the matter is, I can't lose good people. And the good people that I lose are my friends. Melissa's been around for with me, and Robin has been around. And this is the first time Robin's been on the air, but Robin and I, she's been on my Facebook. We've been friends for a while, haven't we, Robin? We've been friends
long
for a
time.
While.
Years.
Yeah. Yes.
Years.
And I can't lose these guys. They're my friends. So I'm just telling anybody listening to me, just be respectful. Don't let me be the bad guy. I don't want to be the bad guy. I really don't. And
yeah,
your opinion does matter, but if you insult people and get rude, I'm going to have to, you know, be a kung fu and kick your ass out. That's it.
I don't blame
Hello,
you.
Hello, ladies. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming
oh,
in.
Yeah.
Robin, I know you have an appointment. Kiddo,
thank you
for coming in. I know. Please,
thank you.
Please go to your appointment. Get ready. Go to your appointment. Thank you for coming in. Come on.
I am. I'm about to get ready to go do that right now.
Thank
it's
you,
a little
kiddo.
Later than I thought we were going to be on, so I said, well, I'll make
know,
a later appointment.
I know, and if you have appointment or schedules you have to do, never do them around the show. Don't do that. We know you're with us. We know people got things to do. So always handle your appointments and whatever you got to do, and come when you can.
Well,
I say that to my girlfriend
so
all the time. Okay, I'll be back. Whenever you can.
Well, I will speak
but
to
yeah.
y'all later. I will talk to y'all later. I do have to
Thank
get
you,
going.
Thank you, have a good one.
Thank
have
you.
Have a good one.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, kiddo.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for understanding, Melissa, and thank you, Pat. We thought we lost you, Pat. We really did. I'll be honest.
Well.
Yeah.
No comment.
Well,
it was close.
I know it was.
I just couldn't take it.
I know. When I called you and went to voicemail, I said to Melissa, "That's it. Pat's gone." Good night, Melissa.
No, I had to get a shower. And that's the problem today too, is we're so late. The girl's coming for my shower, so
just let me know, Brian, I gotta go. I'll talk really fast. It'll probably be a short show. I'll get right to it. It's Friday, everybody. It's Friday. And a lot of you guys don't know the title of the show. Melissa said, I talked to Melissa and Mavern earlier. I said, I don't know even what to talk about. And Melissa goes, Brian, you're really creative. I go, okay. And it stuck in my head. So now I created the title of the show.
You did.
Yeah. Are you a donor for a penis transplant?
Yeah. No.
That's the title of the show. Are you a donor for a penis transplant? You know what's really funny? Because I have a lot of people on Blog Talk who are following me. And when their show comes up, they'll go on my phone, the title of their show, you know, so-and-so's coming on in 20 minutes. I can imagine they're going to see this on their phone because I'm up. Are you a donor for a penis transplant? Can you imagine what they're thinking?
Huh.
Can you imagine?
They understand.
Yeah.
Now, we never, you know, we have a lot of transplants. Kidney transplants, even heart transplants, right?
I don't think they did a penis implant on John Bobbitt, did they? It was just they sewed it back on?
Well, that was an implant, not a transplant.
Okay.
And I think we're going to make
that thing out into the field. It was like laying out there.
I sure did. You know, this is Friday, and everybody has to be ready. This requires a phone call.
Mm.
Yes, it does. What I'm going to do is call a private attorney, a PI attorney, and ask him, do I have a suit against, I was a recipient of a penis transplant, it's not working.
I don't think that's a good one.
You don't think it's a
good
one? Nobody's
going to believe it.
Well, I'll tell you why they believe it. Here we go. You would not believe this. Here we go. Oops. All right. Here we go. Oops. That's my penis pick. Oops. Okay. Here we go. This is a man who received a country's first penis transplant. Of course, it's in Boston. Of course, where are you going to go for a penis transplant? Boston. My cousin from Boston. And here's how it went. This is real, folks. Here's how it went.
Hi, I haven't seen you for a week. How are things?
Good. Good, swelling's down, my numbers look good.
And Tom Manning is...
Here we go.
Hi, I haven't seen you for a week. How are things?
Good. Swelling's down, my numbers look good.
And Tom Manning is just as revealing about his progress as he was weeks after his penis transplant.
He brings me into the men's room. He puts a big, big round thing in the toilet like a bullseye. And he tells me, Tom, hit that bullseye. So I do what he tells me, and I yell, son of a gun, I hit the bullseye. First time in 4 years I'm actually standing up and going to the bathroom. Everybody outside the door cracked up laughing.
He's doing fabulous. He's really been a model patient.
Coming in every week so doctors can track his progress. His surgeons say Tom's accomplished the first 2 of 3 goals set by his transplant team.
Which were, restoration of normal-appearing male genitalia and restoration of urinary function, which he's been able to accomplish and is doing very well at.
The final objective that we were trying to do is, would he be able to get sensations back? And looking at longer term down the road, would he be able to regain sexual function back?
Tom understands. That part is months away.
I feel that I'm not whole yet, but I'm going to be.
For now, he's patient and following doctor's orders.
We need to still maintain his anti-rejection medications at the right level. Rejection can occur at any time. But other than that, so far, so good.
The meds are very, very tough. I mean, this is very strong medication.
Which makes him jittery, and he'll take most for life. But they have an important perk.
The immunosuppressive drug actually improves nerve regeneration, which is kind of an interesting side effect. He told me he could really feel a lot more than he could the last couple of weeks.
Tom's almost ready to go back to work. He was a big hit on a recent visit.
Some of the guys and some of the girls, they go like this. And I saw like a smirk on my face, like, no, my eyes are up here.
Sense of humor intact and feeling stronger every day.
I feel like I'm almost ready to, you know, get out and start living again.
Tom Manning had one minor rejection about a month after the transplant, which they were able to control. And the doctors will be taking everything they learned from this first transplant and improving on it for the next. They have been inundated with requests. They are already screening several new candidates. Heather Unruh, WCVV, News Center 5.
I'd like to know who donated their penis for this man to receive it. I'm sure these people, when you go to DMV and you say you're going to donate your organs, you don't specify what organ they're going to take, right? I mean, they're chopping you up. I mean, they're chopping your
arm. The people that agreed to that, they've agreed to it.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't want any part of me hanging around when I'm done.
Right.
That's
well,
just me, though.
I understand at all. You know, I understand. I want me to hang around. I want to be stuffed and put in a corner with a look on my face. Like I'm surprised. I'm surprised this is happening to me.
You know what
we don't
happens
think about
with those taxidermies after 50 years, eh?
No. What happens?
Well, they gather dust and they get sold in you know, those antique shops and stuff.
Wow. Wow. My girlfriend would do that. She wouldn't even wait to me gather dust. She just put me in the garbage this Friday and stuffed me in one of those recycle cans. That's what she
I don't think so. But
oh, you don't know her. Oh, it's Friday, but it's just recycled.
How do you explain that one to people when you bring someone home? Well, that's my ex. We stuffed him.
We stuffed him. She would get a standing ovation. It's about time. Some people break up. Some people just stuff them in a recycle can. Maybe a good one will come back next week. I don't know. But here we go. The goal of the, you know, you wonder why we do the penis transplant. The goal of the penile reconstruction is to create a functional, aesthetically acceptable penis with minimal donor site morbidity. Yeah. The main functional goals are urination, restoration of sexual function, and restoration of the patient's sense of wholeness and self. So what I'm going to do, since everybody has to leave early, I'm going to make a live call, and I'm going to call a personal injury attorney. It has to be in New York.
Yeah, honey.
Because I think they will get anybody. I think they will take anybody. And Melissa, what do you think, Melissa?
I bet they use the cadaver penis, right?
I know. This guy looks good.
They have to cut that off really quickly. Maybe.
Yes.
And maybe he got a young penis.
I don't know.
Right.
And that's and how many peanut? How, what a selection. I mean, you got it. It's not like you know you're taking it. I want this, because not that many penis donors. And you're right, a cadaver donor, and they have just penis on ice. You don't really.
Yeah.
And then see if it matches you. Well, this guy is the law office of Bernstein. He's a
Rabinowitz
and Bernstein.
My question is, what if they can't match the color?
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm
well,
going to call in.
They're not going to give a white guy a black penis. Well,
I don't know.
If
it matches, I'm going to say that I woke up, I'm a black man, but I got a Chinese penis. I don't recognize it. But it's
penis.
It looks Asian to me.
Oh. Isn't that crazy?
I'm going to do it. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to, they're going to keep me online.
Compose yourself.
Let me see. Close this, huh? Are we going to do the Betty? Now, this is a 1-800 number. I'm going to have a problem with the 1-800 number because unless they roll us over, let's see anybody else. We're calling people in New York. Here's a number. I got an accident number. This is New York Injury Attorney PC. I have no idea what that is. And let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens. The hard part is for me, again, I'm ad-libbing. I have no idea what I'm going to say. And I can't laugh.
No, you can't.
I can't. Let me put it
but
here.
We can.
Yes, you can. I don't know if it's going to be funny. I'm going to try to go in serious.
Just go in straight. Just do
I'm
it.
I'm going straight. I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name is Laquan Jackson. That's my name, Laquan Jackson.
Laquan. And everybody knows that Oliver calls Laverne Laquan.
Laquan. Yes.
Oh, God.
I like it.
Laquan.
Okay, I'm going to put you guys on hold, and let's make that call. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Okay, let's make a call. Let's see if they take my case. They don't pick up. Oops. I think I hung up when they picked up. Damn it. Let me try this again. I think they just picked up when... Let me try it again.
New York City injury attorneys?
Yes. May I speak to an attorney, please?
Sure. I'm a paralegal with the firm. Are you calling for a case?
I'm sorry?
Are you calling for a case?
I need an attorney because of an operation that I have, and I think I want to sue the hospital and a donor. So I'm looking around for an attorney. Yeah.
Sure, we can help with that. I could pass along the information to the attorney, and he can review it. When did the accident happen?
Well, the thing about
he's
it
not
is
available.
That I'm a... Okay. I'll talk to you about it, see if he will take my case. I'm a recipient.
Sure.
I'm a recipient of an organ transplant. And the doctor told me, you know, he told me the cost, you know, it's like 20-60 if it worked, but he convinced me that this would work. And the transplant that the organ that they transplanted on me is a penis. They transplanted
okay.
a penis. I am a black gentleman, African-American gentleman, and when I woke up, it doesn't look like an African-American penis. I think it's Asian, to tell you the truth. I'm not racist or anything. But I'm thinking they transplanted the wrong penis, and my penis doesn't work. And I think I have a lawsuit here. I really do.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure we can help with that case. I'm sorry, because we can help with, like, injuries resulting from medical malpractice, but, I mean, I
but
could...
But isn't this an injury? But isn't this an injury from malpractice that I was not consulted? Hello? Hello?
I can, I can give you the Bar Association number. Where are you located?
Okay. Well, I'm located in Manhattan.
Okay, one second.
Okay. But isn't this considered a personal injury, though? That's why I call it a personal injury lawyer.
I'm going to be honest. We've never had a case like that, to be completely honest with you. I would say it's like, I don't know, like it has to be like some kind of like a physical disability, you know, at least for
our firm. It doesn't work. Physically, it does not work.
Yeah.
And I think they put the wrong penis on my body, so I got emotional distress here. And
yeah, let me give you that
I'm
number.
Walking around, so I'm thinking it's a personal injury, right? The very least is a personal injury.
One second.
Okay, because I'm walking around with an Asian penis. Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, let me know when you're ready to take down their number.
Okay, I'm ready to take it down.
312-382-6600.
Now, who are these people?
It's the Bar Association. They'll try to refer you to an attorney who'd be, you know, who'd want to look into it, but
what?
Yeah, just explain what happened to them and, you know, see if they can refer you to
take
another
donor
firm
cases.
That'd be willing.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. What do you think, Pee-wee? What do you think, Pee-wee? Look at Pee-wee. You like that, Pee-wee? Oh, Pee-wee liked it.
Pee-wee did like
that. There you go. There you go. I never heard an attorney say, I never heard a case like this. This is kind of unique.
Kind of unusual.
I thought they heard of it. Yeah, I thought they in New York, they have heard of everything. I mean, what do you know?
You'd think.
But I would think so.
I have to go, you guys.
I know you do. That's why I wanted to make the live call when you're here. Thank you, Pat. Pat, was it a good call?
Yeah, nothing wrong.
All right, Pat, I'll see you Monday. Have a good whatever. Have a good thing.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
This is going to be
you.
A short show because everybody has things to do. It's my fault. I started too late. And I could very much, I have a good show when I talk to Laverne and Melissa.
That's
and Melissa's here
pre-game.
To keep.
You know, we pre-game before the show.
Well,
yeah.
you heard the person. You heard the person. And see, we talk about penises, right? Okay, unusual,
right.
Am I correct? And we're thinking organs that you normally wouldn't think transplanted.
Yeah.
Unique. Well, here's a guy who got a head transplant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
He has the world's first head transplant. Here we go. Listen to this guy.
We have the most extraordinary story for you now. Over the past few years, we have seen surgeons carry out the first hand transplant, womb transplant, and, of course, we've seen face transplant. But now one doctor is planning on making history by performing the world's first ever head transplant.
Yep, you heard correctly, a head transplant, the full head. The pioneering and somewhat controversial operation will see the head of Valerie Spiridonov, who's terminally ill and wheelchair bound, attached to an entire...
Oh my God, you should see this guy's head. He's a little guy. I gotta get... Melissa, I'm gonna send this into your...
No.
See this guy's head.
Wow.
Oh. Let me see. Wait a minute. What's going on? Let me see what they can do. Okay. Okay. All right, Pat. I mean, Robin.
What?
No, she just sent me a nice little note. I'm going to send this to Melissa because I'm thinking this guy's head is a little bit too big for this body. Here we go. It's going to be in your Facebook DM. Melissa?
Okay.
Here you go. That's what I'm looking at. His head, something looked odd there. Let's get back to it.
Oh, yeah.
His head does not match his body. I mean, his body looks short and frail. And his head already comes with a mustache and a beard. It comes with the mustache and beard.
Can you imagine what he's been through after that surgery, the recovery? Oh, my God. No wonder he looks frail.
He looks, but I don't understand. How do you transplant a head? I mean, does it come with eyes and nose? And how do you do the octave
nerve?
What
about the brain? Like,
exactly. And the head comes with a haircut.
Oh, wow. You've got to go through the video. He's in a wheelchair. He looks pretty messed up. But the head is quite large. You're right.
The head is quite large. It does not fit your body. But here we go.
New body. We're speaking to Valerie, who's here with us in just a moment. Wow. First, Charlotte has more on exactly what this extraordinary procedure will involve.
Yes, it really is such a complicated process. And the surgeon planning this operation says it will take around 150 medical staff 36 hours
wow.
to complete. The first step is to freeze the head and body in order to stop the brain cells from...
I think I had that done when I was in the hospital. They froze me. I think I have that. They had to freeze the head and the body cool to minus 15 degrees.
Wow.
Here we go.
The neck will then be cut... The first step is to freeze the head and body in order to stop the brain cells from dying. The neck will then be cut and the tubes connecting the key arteries and veins fitted. The next step will be the biggest challenge. Now, this is cutting the spinal cord, and doctors will be using an extremely fine blade made from diamond to minimize the damage here. The head will then be moved from the donor body, and the spinal cords will be fused together using a special type of glue. Now, once all that is in place, it is a race against time to reattach all the remaining muscles, veins.
Did you say glue? Glue?
Mm-hmm.
But
when this is done, I have a huge question.
I have a question too. What's the guy, the headless guy? What are they doing with him?
He must be dead.
I don't know. Oh, they're freezing his body too. So they're freezing him.
Yeah.
They must take off his head. So they're taking off his head, put him in the freezer, and then they put glue. It's holding together with glue. Listen.
And veins fitted. The next step will be the biggest challenge. Now, this is cutting the spinal cord, and doctors will be using an extremely fine blade made from diamond to minimize the damage here. The head will then be moved from the donor body, and the spinal cords will be fused together using a special type of glue. Now, once all that is in place, it...
A special kind of glue?
Glue.
There's a race against time to reattach all the remaining muscles, veins, and the organs like the esophagus. Once the skin is stitched together by a plastic surgeon, the patient will be kept in an induced coma for 4 weeks to allow everything to heal.
My God. Can you imagine?
No.
An induced coma for 3 to 4 weeks. Oh, my God. And how do you talk? Well, let's go on.
It really is an extremely intricate procedure. So Valerie Spiridonov wants to undergo that procedure, that surgery. Dr. Hillary is here alongside you. Well, Valerie, it's fantastic to meet you, and thanks so much for coming.
Well, let me describe this guy. He looks like he's a, I don't know how I can describe him. He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's a small guy. I don't know if he, I don't even know if he has a waist or legs. I don't know. How would you describe him, Melissa, if you had to describe him?
He looks like a paraplegic almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His limbs look really weak and like atrophy, like shrunken and.
Right. Right.
You know, did they say why they had to do this?
No, not yet. Not yet. Exactly, right? Why would you need a head transplant?
Yeah.
Why would you need
it? It's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with his head? I mean, is he getting... It is. You wonder what's... Well, his name is Valerie. His name is Valerie, Valery. That's how he spells it. He talks about why he wants to be the first ever recipient of a highly controversial head transplant. The Good Morning Britain YouTube channel delivers you the new blah, 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 blah. They don't explain why he wants a new head. Well, let's continue. We learn something every day, don't we? This is bizarre. Here we go.
This is just extraordinary, just hearing the details of this procedure from Charlotte. Tell us why you want to undergo something, I mean, frankly, so life-threatening.
Okay. As you can see, I'm disabled in a pretty heavy condition. But also...
What did you say?
I don't know, but his voice cracked up. I mean, you wait for him to talk, and you think it's going to be normal. You don't expect... Well, you know... Yellow Brick Road kind of... It is... Well, let's see if he's insane.
I found this story. This is really weird.
You know what? It's Friday. You said I was creative. And that's, I mean, who would think out of the box saying, come on, Brian, really? A head transplant? A penis transplant? Come on, Brian. And that's what's good with our show is that you never know the next day what we do.
Wait. Okay.
I'll try not. Yeah.
His name is Valery Spiridonov. He suffered from a muscle-wasting disease. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He volunteered for this surgery. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He wanted a new head but had a change of heart after his glamorous new wife gave birth to their miracle son, according to the report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The 33-year-old Russian... Oh my God. What the hell is this? Where did you find this shit? Seriously. Where did you find this?
This is bizarre. This is bizarre, but tell people it is true. It's not made up. It is true.
No. There's many articles about it.
Yeah.
It's
and here we go.
Bizarre.
It is. Here we go. Let's finish this up. I'm going to try not to laugh at the guy's voice.
Hey.
Tell us why you want to undergo something, I mean, frankly, so life-threatening.
Okay. As you can see, I'm disabled in a pretty heavy condition. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm very fond of science. I dig deeply into this topic of this kind of transplantations for about 20 years. I read about Robert White's experiments with monkeys. And Professor Vladimir Demixov's experiments with dogs. Mm-hmm. So I thought that if this technology could be improved and could be done safe enough to make the transplant on human and to make the transplant with the point where the brain will be able to control the new body, it will make sense. And, of course, we should evolve this procedure and make it happen.
Valerie. Obviously, it's a very dangerous operation.
Absolutely.
You know that. You're a smart guy. You know the risks involved. Have you just taken a view? You have a terminal illness anyway. Your life expectancy is not great. You have nothing to lose.
What?
Is that your thinking?
Wait a minute.
My second question is...
I didn't know he had a terminal illness. What does he have, kiddo?
It's that he had a muscle-wasting disease.
Oh.
He almost, you know what? He almost looks like Hawkins, doesn't he? His body.
He kind of does, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be funny if he wakes up and he had a gorilla head on his face?
Oh, my.
Or a dog.
You know, he
or
went
a dog
on,
head.
He got a glamorous girlfriend, and she got pregnant, so obviously his penis didn't waste away.
Exactly. Exactly. He's still got his spermies and everything. Even he gets laid. Even he can get a girl.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Oh, my God.
Here we go. We'll finish this up.
Do you know what your quality of life could be if this is all a huge success?
Okay, let me explain. I'm not doing only this project, this full-body transportation project. I'm also in charge of several other projects, but this was the most public one. I also try to improve lives of other people by creating autopilot wheelchair assistance, other accessible devices, but it became so that Dr. Canavero's project was most known.
But for you personally, Valerie?
Yes.
I'm trying to get inside, quite literally, your head about this, right? I want to know, what is making you do this? What is your motivation personally?
My motivation personally is about improving my own life conditions and to go to the stage where I will be able to take care of myself, where I will be independent from other people, because...
And you believe this operation, if it's successful...
Yes, absolutely.
If it's completely successful...
Yes.
And there are massive risks, it's never been done, but if it works, you believe the quality of your life will not only be extended, but could actually be quite reasonable.
We're trying to do our best to make this experiment safe and to make it believable, and we try to do all the research which is needed to be safe, because today my life is pretty tough. I need to invite people to help me every day, even twice a day, because I need someone to take me off my bed and put me in my wheelchair to assist me through the day. So it makes my life pretty dependable from other people. And if there will be a way to change this, I believe that it should be tried, used.
It's worth a go, right? That's what you think.
All of a sudden the door was open, and before I knew it, I was on the side of the road, bleeding a lot.
And Ben, you were on the coach, weren't you? Because you'd been on the same floor, and you were upstairs. What did you know about that Seb and what happened?
Well, I knew nothing. Oh my, oh mum.
Yeah.
Wow.
He does have a gorgeous wife, though.
Wow.
I think he's a scientist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He has a disease, Melissa's right. He has a muscle-devastating disease. And it left his body like an accordion. Like an accordion.
Yeah.
And so I guess they touched on it. That maybe this disease is coming from the brain, and it's going through the body. Who knows? And they're going to nip it in the bud. Wow. You know, you think you have problems, and then you realize what's really going on in the world, and other people have stuff. And we're going to go back to the penis, as we tend to do. Because I have it up. I have to get rid of it. I just don't know what to, can you imagine me calling back the attorney and say, my head transplant didn't work? Can you imagine that? Wow. So if you guys are, I was wondering, why would a person go through this? And we're talking about a penis transplant. We're not talking about penis implant. We're talking about a penis transplant. Why would they do this? You know, is it that important? They even said here. I mean, you. I mean, how do you feel like you wake up with another man's penis and attached to another man's penis, and then you try it out on your wife or your girlfriend, and she goes, I like your new penis. I didn't like the old one. I mean, I don't know what you do. What do you do? It says here, a penis transplant is a rare and complex procedure. And how does your wife, the psychological thing, you're in bed and your wife is giving you oral sex, and it's like she's sucking on somebody else's penis that used to be somebody else's. I mean, how is that? How do you get by that psychologically? Wow. A penis transplant is a rare and complex procedure that only seen a few successes. While still being considered experimental, research is progressing. In 2006, a penis transplant was performed in China, but it was considered unsuccessful because the transplant recipient's body rejected the organ. The first successful penis transplant was performed in South Africa in 2014. It involved a 21-year-old recipient who lost his penis due to a failed circumcision. What? So this guy goes in to get a circumcision. It goes horribly wrong, and he loses his penis.
Oh, wow.
My God. And it goes horribly wrong. After the 2014 procedure, it proved successful. Other transplants were performed, one in the U.S. in 2016 and another in South Africa in 2017. In 2018, a veteran who experienced a traumatic loss from his tour in Afghanistan underwent a 14-hour procedure to transplant a donated penis and a scrotum at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. He is said to be able to gain near normal functioning, reproductivity, and urology. Oh, my God. He's
that
good.
That would be urology.
Yeah, urology. Well, it's Galilee. You're right, though.
Okay.
Well, this is right. Okay. The transplant recipient who chose to maintain his anonymous.
Yeah.
Also lost both of his legs in the explosion from an improvised explosion device during the time he was serving in the armed forces in Afghanistan. So I guess he stepped on one of those mines that took your... They used to have it in Vietnam. They used to do it in Vietnam. I heard about this, that these guys would go in Vietnam and they would trip a wire, and these bombs meant to just cut off your balls, not kill you, but basically castrate you. I've heard those stories.
Wow.
Let me see. We were able to design a transplant. He says, our transplant is different because it's a much larger piece of tissue. An improvised explosive device typically hits the pelvic region. We were able to design a transplant that would include all the tissue so to replace the entire defect. Wow. Reasons for a penis transplant is that Johns Hopkins in 2018 involved a hospital special program for wounded soldiers. Those are eligible for consideration as people with 75% of genitalia lost from combat. There you go. It's like, who's the candidate for these people? These people who are going to receive a penis, I'd like to know how they get it donated, but people who received it, they have cognitive functions. They have good coping mechanism, ability to deal with the impact of a penile trauma and receiving the penile graft. The partner must also be elevated if the candidate is married or in a relationship. The partner must be also be evaluated if the candidate is married or in a relationship. They got to go under psychological testing. They have to take a mini mental exam. They also have to take the Hopkins Adult Reading Test to ensure a candidate can comprehend written consent forms and other written materials. And they have to do a verbal test. Who's eligible? Males of any color, race, or ethnicity, age 18 to 69, U.S. citizen, a penile injury that occurred 6 months ago or longer, Injury resulted in the loss of 75% or more of the phallus. No history of HIV. No history of cancer for at least the past 5 years. And the ability to take immune drugs. These are the people who get them. Now, you're saying, what happens if your penis is good, but you need some balls? Is there a balls transplant? And there is. But that's very few. People don't usually replace your balls, but they can do that. They can, and I saw that. I just don't have it up. Mm. Yeah.
They just put a couple of marbles in there.
It could. It could. Oh, come on, marbles. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Little cat, I know, right? So let me get rid of that one. Let me see. Okay, we'll get rid of that. We're going to kill that. Okay, we're going to kill that. I'm killing things as we go. We're going to kill that. Penis, and I read that. And let's see. If you could read my mind, love, what a world. I like him. Who is that person, Melissa?
Oh, my God. That was Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, my God. You are good. You are
He's
so good.
He's a damn Canadian. He's a
Canadian,
pal.
Pat left. Pat left. Oh, let me see. I'm reading Robin wishes us a good show. She's taking care of food. I mean, taking care of business. Oh, boy.
Nice.
Okay. She had to go to an appointment, and she's just keeping me updated. All right. And let's see. Well, let's see what else. Okay, you know, sometimes we need to lighten it up, right? It's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Right, Melissa? You want to laugh? Okay, we talked to a guy replacing his penis, and we talked to a guy who's replacing his head. And I made a live call to a law office, and they even said, I never heard anything like this. Can you imagine if I called and said, you know, this is not my real head. I had a head transplant, and my body's bigger than my head.
You know what they were
going to
do? From what I read, they were going to put his head on another body.
Yes, on another body. Yeah, they would have to because his other body's like an organ, like a accordion.
Yeah.
And his that body is full of that disease. Yeah, they would have to.
Yeah.
It's like, what's his name said? You have nothing to lose. Except your life.
What? Yeah.
Except looking like a freak.
Yeah.
Let's see. David Portley, he posted a link. Let's see what King posted right here. Michael Portley, a junior and students of David. Jesus, that's my dude. Oh, okay. Okay. There you go, King. There you go. All right. Here we go. This is my, you know, sometimes I can't sleep. I have this thing. And not all late show hosts make me laugh, but Stephen Colbert makes me laugh. He goes beyond it. He makes me laugh. And I would just tune in just for the monologue. Here we go. I think you're going to enjoy this. Relax and enjoy yourself. It's only 7 minutes. Just relax and listen to Stephen Colbert. Thank you. I'm going to mute everybody so you can relax, have a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever you want to do, and I'll be back in 6 minutes. Enjoy this comedy. Here we go. Thank you, Melissa. Here we go.
On a recent episode of his late-night show, The Late Show, host Stephen Colbert humorously ridiculed former President Donald Trump's struggle with pronouncing the word climate. This happened during a campaign rally in New Hampshire not too long ago. Trump, while discussing the topic of electric vehicles, stumbled over the word climate, pronouncing it as Klein. Trump remarked that electric vehicles don't work well in cold weather and they don't go far. He made this statement in reference to President Joe Biden's advocacy for transitioning to electric vehicles. Trump continued taking jabs at Biden, but then hit a roadblock when he tried to say the word climate. He kept stopping in the middle of the word, just saying climb, until he eventually just gave up. Colbert, on his late show, seized on Trump's pronunciation gaffe mimicking the former president's verbal stumbling. Colbert amusingly imitated Trump, highlighting his apparent struggle with the relatively simple word. Adding to the satire, Colbert continued, jokingly attributing his own linguistic mishaps to brain damage, mimicking Trump's characteristic hand gestures. Colbert's impersonation of Trump's linguistic...
I'm going to go right to Colbert. I'm going to go right to him. I don't need a narration of it. Let me see. Okay, here's... Let me see. Oh. When is this? 14 hours ago. Okay, this is the latest.
Can't fully empty your bladder because of a swollen prostate? Well, here's why you shouldn't try meds.
Thank you, my friend.
There, all around the world, welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, as you can see right there, we couldn't put that up if it wasn't true. We are live tonight, and so is Joe Biden. More importantly, we are awake. Thanks to our sponsor, Too Much Caffeine. Too Much Caffeine. We have the shakes. Now, coming into tonight's speech, critics said Biden's State of the Union challenge was to dispel old man vibes. Really? In Congress? It's kind of hard to fight off the old man vibe when you're speaking to a room that looks like an open casket convention. Well, tonight, Joe Biden delivered what has been described in the press so far as feisty, fiery, heated, supreme, Crunchwrap. I'm sorry. It's really late and I'm hungry. Leading up to the big speech, Biden hunkered down at Camp David with six of his closest advisors, including Mike Donilon, the aide who has the best understanding of Mr. Biden's voice. It's very important. His advisors have to understand his voice. Because it starts up here. And he comes down here and tells you he's not joking. He's not joking, folks. That's number one. Number two. He likes making lists of two things. So it was kind of a tense night because it feels like this might be the last time we get a State of the Union. Depending on what happens in November, next year might just be a Kid Rock concert and an immigrant catapult. The media, I hope not, but the media spent the day trying to get any peek into Biden's state of mind. Politico got the huge scoop that the president had chicken parm for lunch. And then he spoke for an hour? When I have chicken parm, I clear my calendar for 24 hours, and I dim the light. Now, I hear you out there. I hear you asking. You're saying, Steve, were there any thirsty-ass bitches in the audience? The answer is yes, because thanks to rules giving former members of Congress floor access, George Santos attended the State of the Union. Come on. You can't just go back to your old job like you never left, unless you're Jon Stewart. Keep it up, John. You're crushing it. Now, on the Democratic side, they wore white. On the Republican side, they were white. Ahead of the president's arrival there, members of the Supreme Court filed in. Interestingly, Justice Clarence Thomas did not attend. Yeah, it's nice to know he's willing to recuse himself from something. Then, the big moment, the president's entrance. He took his sweet damn time getting down the aisle, and as the president made his way, the crowd chanted. Four more years of walking to the podium. Yeah, it was late. Just go. Then he finally got to the podium where Speaker of the House Mike Johnson got the privilege of standing next to Vice President Kamala Harris. And because he was standing that close to a woman, his son got an alert on his phone. Don't know what Justin's saying. The president started off by invoking history.
In January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation.
And he said, "Hey, Joe." Joe talked about the war in Ukraine and introduced the latest member of the NATO alliance.
And today, we've made NATO stronger than ever. Just this morning, Sweden officially joined, and their minister is here tonight.
Biden touted his economic record and struck an optimistic tone.
I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news, but news in 1,000 cities and towns, the American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told.
And in one city, one American wrote the greatest love story never told. It's called This Is Me Now. It features J-Lo working in something called a heart factory, and Post Malone and Jane Fonda play zodiac signs. I will not be taking questions at this time. But I have so many questions. Biden emphasized that he has faith in America.
I say to the American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up.
Yes, we get knocked down, but we get up again. They're never going to keep us down. We need a whiskey drink. We take a vodka drink. We take a cider drink. We take a lager drink. Because this speech is very long and booze makes it more fun. Great. We drank the whiskey drink. We drank the lager drink. Biden took aim at high-priced prescription drugs.
Americans pay more for prescription drugs than anywhere in the world. It's wrong, and
That is fantastic. They should definitely make it cheaper to buy whatever amphetamine they shaved on top of Joe's chicken porn before giving the speech. Then, Joe Biden addressed shrinkflation.
In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. Called shrinkflation.
Joe's right. For instance, Doritos hasn't changed their price, but the bags have gone from 9.76 ounces to 2.5 ounces, which translates to five fewer chips. Burn it all down! We will hunt you! Go! And I'm messing with my Doritos! We will hunt you to the ends of Cool Ranch and have our flavor blast in vengeance. You have driven us, Doritos Locos.
There you go.
Thank you, citizen. Everyone's mad about shrinkflation. Even Cookie Monster recently tweeted, "Me hate shrinkflation. Me cookies are getting smaller." It's true. It hits everyone on the street. Big Bird is now just Bird. Fair and illegal corporate pricing, which means we'll finally get a crackdown on all the convenience stores selling Arizona tea for more than a dollar. It says 99 cents right on the can!
Most people have no clue that in 2023, the best way to make money on Amazon is not with...
Then Joe recalled a commercial that maybe exists.
You probably all saw that commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
He's right. I cannot tell you how many times I've opened a Snickers bar, and there's only one Snickers bar in there. It's unacceptable. It's got to stop. Where's my pitchfork? Biden also took on our economic rival, China.
I've made sure that the most advanced American technology can't be used in China.
You hear that, China? You will not be getting the KFC cheetza. Staying on technology, Biden also gave a stern warning about AI.
Harness the promise of AI to protect us from peril. Ban AI voice impersonations and more.
Really? Ban AI voice impersonations? That's not what he said on the radio this afternoon. Jim, play it.
I love AI voice impersonations. Me, the real Joe Biden, who married Jill. Lick ice cream. Love train. Choo-choo.
And I think that's what he said. And that's what I heard. I just heard it. Finally, it was time for Biden's closing remarks.
My lifetime has taught me to embrace freedom and democracy, a future based on core values that have defined America, honesty, decency, dignity, equality, to respect everyone, to give everyone a fair shot, to give hate no safe harbor. Now, other people my age see it differently. The American story of resentment, revenge, and retribution, that's not me.
Yes, other people his age see a different story. It's called Yellowstone. They love that show. And he finished strong with an inspiring message about America's days ahead.
I see a future where defending democracy, you don't diminish it. I see a future where we restore the right to choose and protect our freedoms, not take them away. I see a future where the middle class finally has a fair shot and the wealthy have to pay their fair share in taxes. I see a future where we save the planet from the climate crisis and our country from gun violence. Above all, I see a future for all Americans.
The last time an old man was telling us that passionately that he wanted to take us into the future, Marty McFly invented rock and roll. Get in Joe Biden's DeLorean, America. Great Scott. We got a great show for you.
Well, there you go. Maybe it wasn't as funny as I thought, but it'll catch you up on what you need to do. I want to thank Melissa for keeping me company today. It's going to be a short show. It's going to be a short show. I started a little late. You know, it's about 12:42 here, California. It's about 3:40, almost quarter four in the East Coast. But I do want to end it with this. This is Charles Barkley. And he slammed black people who wear Trump's mugshot. Because Trump said, ever since I got a mugshot, black people are wearing them and they're attracted to mugshots. You know what the innuendo there. And this is what Charles Barkley said.
You know, we're sitting here and we don't make the news. But this past week,
first off, if you haven't made money with AI yet, don't worry. AI is the biggest wealth.
Last week, Charles, I don't know if you know, but you've been in the news for some comments you made on our last show. Do you remember, dear, what you said?
I do remember what I said.
Okay, well, we'll tape.
If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugs, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
Oh, I mean that sincerely.
But if you see somebody, a black person with a Donald Trump
I'm
going to
punch him right in the eye.
Punch him in the face.
Gail, I promise you.
I would bail you out. I would bail you out.
You're not going to be my first call.
No, you know, it's so funny because before I took this show, before we agreed, because Charles and I, we have to say this, neither one of us were looking for another job. And CNN called and they had this great idea of you and I together, which I thought was really fun. And people said, aren't you worried about things Charles would say? And I said to you, you're a grown-ass man. You say exactly what you think. And you take responsibility for everything you say.
Yes.
And so it's not like you just willy-nilly say stuff for clickbait, right?
I always know the response. And I always know how much gasoline I'm putting on the fire.
Okay.
Of course.
So in that vein, that clip that you all just saw has been seen millions of times, and there have been quite a few articles written about it, and that's before we even get to the social media comments, which look a lot like this gentleman. He's very large. He's wearing a mugshot, or he's wearing a mugshot of the T-shirt or photoshops of large men wearing the T-shirt that say, I hear Charles Barkley's looking for me. They all think that you are ready to run around punching people who vote for Donald Trump. Now, I know when you say that, that was just you making a point. That's not something you would literally do going around attacking people, right?
Well, let me say, is this my camera right there? I want to make sure people can hear me.
Yeah.
Number one, obviously I'm not going to go around punching random strangers in the face, first and foremost. Secondly, people can vote for who they want to.
Yes.
People can vote for who they want to. The point I was trying to make.
There you go.
No, the point I was making. I wasn't trying to make it.
Okay.
When Donald Trump compares his plight with that of the black person,
yes,
that is what I had a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to say this. I want to make it perfectly clear. If you're a black person and you're wearing a Donald Trump mugshot, you are a freaking idiot. And I'm only saying freaking idiot because they won't let me say what I really want to say. But you can figure it out. It starts with an F. But you are. Listen, people can vote for who they want to.
Yeah.
But to for him to compare his plight with that other African, I don't even like that term, the black people in America,
yeah,
is asinine and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you guys can put on those two small T-shirts like y'all got them on. Get a big size if you're going to wear it. Don't put on a medium and act like you got muscles. But that bothered
that
me.
That irritates.
That no, it didn't. No, it bothered me,
mm-hmm,
because for him to compare a white billionaire,
yes,
who is in trouble because of stuff he did,
yes,
not because of stuff like black people get in trouble stuff that happened
that they did not deserve to do. Yes,
but for him to compare that to black people's plight, that's just stupid on their part. I appreciate y'all. I hope y'all got Nielsen boxes if y'all gonna wear those tight T-shirts around the house and somebody take pictures. But I do. I'll stick by what I said. If you're wearing a Trump mugshot around, you are a freaking idiot.
But you aren't going to go just randomly attack people on the street. That's the only point I want to make.
Unless they had the Trump sneakers on, too. Unless they had the Trump sneakers on, too. Now, if you got the mugshot,
okay,
you got the mugshot and the Trump sneakers on, you are going to cross over a line that you cannot get back.
Well, they're $3.99. Some people say that's a good deal. But I was trying to help you. I said, you don't really mean that.
I'm not going to go around. I'm trying to make the point, though. I'm not going to go around punching people.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Violence is never the answer.
Exactly.
But my message is very clear. If you think Donald Trump is under the same umbrella as black people, you're just stupid.
Yeah.
But you know what, Gail? We got big announcements. We got to move on. We had her on last week.
Yes.
And
there you go. There's some things we just want to get rid of. It's Friday. We want to get rid of this. Here you go. This is for you Trump supporters. Here we go.
It's an incredible, crazy film that's like a cult film, honestly.
Why
are there some people think Trump is like God? So they had that. It's one of my favorite. We talked about it. It still cracks me up. There's a video. If you want to go on Facebook, if you want to go on YouTube, put in the video, God Created Trump. It's funny as hell. Let's see if this is it.
This World Economic Forum, come home hungry. Have to wait until the First Lady is done with lunch with friends. 1946, God looked down. And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God gave us Trump. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, fix this country, work all day, fight the Marxists, eat supper, then go to the Oval Office and stay past midnight at a meeting of the heads of state. So God made Trump. I need somebody with arms, strong enough to rustle the deep state, and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to ruffle the feathers. Tame, cantankerous World Economic Forum. Come home hungry. Have to wait until the First Lady is done with lunch with friends. Then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon. And mean it. So God gave us Trump.
There you go. There you go. God gave us Trump.
That was some comedic relief. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, God gave me Trump. But you know, I love the Lincoln Project. And they are Republicans, but they're pissed off at Trump. They get another video, too. I played it, but I love it, too. And they call it God gave us a dictator. And now, again, these are Republicans who pissed off at Trump. They're never Trumpers. He pissed off at him. So they got a video. God gave us, let me see if I can get it. And it's really good. Let me see. How do you spell dick? Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see if I got this one here. Okay, God made a dictator. Here we go. And remember,
dictator,
these are Republicans.
That's the IC.
Yeah. These are Republicans, remember. And they hate Trump. It's a Lincoln Project, and I love this Sunday. Here we go.
Hey, God looked down on his planned paradise. And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a man to test the will and goodness of a free people. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a man who failed in everything but theft and broken promises to live in a golden palace and convince the poor he serves their needs. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a wicked man to lead the common folk with hatred and fear. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a corrupt man who is above the law and immune from justice. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a man who will use violence to seize power. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a man whose followers will call black white, call evil good, and call criminals hostages. So God made a dictator. God said, I need his political party to obey without question, and the press fear his wrath. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a cruel man who uses his power and position to punish and harm his opposition. So God made a dictator. God said, I need a man who breaks the faith of even his most godly followers and leads them to idolatry. Place him above me. So God made a dictator. And then God said, I sent this man to test you, and until you cast him down, you have failed.
Wow.
So God made a dictator.
That's the Lincoln Project. I love those guys. There you go. I love those guys.
What did they say in the first one? The other one you were playing? It said
God made Trump.
Yeah, he delivered his grandchildren.
Yeah, what? It shows him walking with his grandchildren. He delivered his grandchildren. God made Trump. Wow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you know, come on. Let me see. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to take that out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, of course, Donald Trump threatened Taylor Swift. She responded.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Why did he do that?
You know he's doing it. You know he's trolling so he can just get in the news. You know that. He'll just say something. He knows it's going to make the news. And if he attacks Taylor Swift got millions of followers, so it brings him into her group. And all those people who don't really know about Trump, guess what? They know about him now. You know what I mean?
Was there a conspiracy theory about her being tucked up Biden's butt or something? Is that one thing?
I know in 2020 she urged everybody to vote for Biden. But this time she made a statement. She says, vote for who you want to vote, just vote. So she didn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He likes to get in with celebrities.
He does.
You know, kind of group himself with that.
But that's good marketing. If he slams Taylor Swift and Taylor responds, do you know he'll be billions of people? Billions of people who don't usually watch the news or hear about him, but they're going to get mad at him for attacking Taylor Swift, and his powers are going to go up tenfold. It's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing.
Well, you know the gays love Taylor Swift. They love her.
Right.
So he's lost them already.
I know. I guess Taylor Swift is the new Cher, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm just reading a little bit about Robin, and wow, Robin's going through a lot.
Is she okay?
She's going through a lot. She's in a lot of pain right now, she's getting it taken care of, but she's still working. You know, she's working in pain, booking people for the show.
Good. Well, it's not good she's in pain.
It's not good, though, right? You know?
No.
I want to thank Melissa, man. Melissa.
Speaking of pain,
you know,
I can tell a story. I wanted to tell you, you guys on the phone earlier. I don't know. I was trying to make sense of it. I had a dream last night that this old man fell on me. And I said, "You're going to hurt my hip and leg." And he wouldn't get off of me. And it really hurt, right? And I finally got away. But, you know, I woke up in a lot of pain today.
Yeah.
It was weird. Maybe I was in a painful position.
Yes, I have done that many times. You know what I've done? I'm one of these people that I'm a light sleeper. Let's say I'm sleeping on my hand, you know, my hand's underneath me or whatever. In my dream, my hand will be numb and I can't move my hand.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move my hand, and then I have to wake myself up and realize I'm sleeping on my hand. That happens a lot. You know, it could be in my shoulder or whatever. Yeah, I had those dreams.
But this old man, he wouldn't get off me and fell on me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm like, get off, and I'm trying to crawl out.
Wow.
It was weird.
I don't know the significance of the old man. The only thing I could think of, it could be Mr. Solution.
What happened to these guys today? They're both gone?
It's Friday. They're thinking, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. What is it, 4 o'clock where you are? It's Friday. They're expecting that Brian's going to be on. Brian's going to be on in the morning. He's not going to be on until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they made plans. And that's it. And I understand that. Yeah, this is on me. If I was on early like I was supposed to, and Robin said, you're usually on in the morning. I usually arrange my what I have to do around your show. I didn't think you were going to be on this late. Even Pat had to leave. They got plans. But I'll tell you something. Did you ever dream about your hair? You ever dream about hair or a person or an animal?
Yeah.
Like maybe you're getting your hair done or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
that's smart.
I Google what dreams mean. And we're going to talk about we'll do that Monday. How's that?
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. We'll go to the interpretation of your dreams, what they really mean. Melissa, thank you so much, sweetheart. Thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Coming in. Thank you, Liberty Verdi, for listening. And have a great weekend, kids. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. And they're listening to you. Bye-bye.
So are you seeing the upside of people getting into side hustles and so forth because of the recession?
With a heartache of the hero would be me. Hero on the day. You won't read that book again because the ending just too hard to take. That you left.
I don't know if she's still listening. I don't know if she's still listening at all. But I'd like to send out a song to Laverne Bernie. Let me see. Now I have to stop to find a song. I know the song. And she may not be listening. It's not me for nothing, but I still want to do it. Because she could not join us today. And I might even do a show tonight for music, to tell you the truth, because we got some music people coming on. I don't have it. Laverne, I'm sorry. I don't have it. All right. She's not here anyway, and I'll play for her Monday. All right, guys. I want to thank you for supporting the show. I want to thank the guests we had on this week. Let me see. Nope. I'm trying to find a song. I'm still not going to give up until I find that song from Laverne. Don't have it. Wow. Don't have it. Okay, I don't have it. All right. I can't think of the song. Oh, I know the song. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. All right, here we go. This goes out to that little cute girl out there in Virginia. It goes out to her. You know, this song goes out to Laquan. Here you go, Laquan. And I can't keep you up on your feet.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of when your legs don't work like they used to before? And I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. I'm thinking about how people fall in love in a serious way. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall in love with you every single day. And I just wanna tell you I am. So honey, now take me into your loving arms. Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars. Place your hands on my beating heart. I'm thinking out loud. Maybe we found love right where we are. When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Oh, it's evergreen. Baby, forever in my mind and memory.
Have a great weekend, Laverne, Vernie. That goes to you. And Melissa, I got a song for you too, kiddo. Thank you so much for coming in, keeping me company. You're the best, kiddo. I was trying to find a Melissa song. It's hard because she's so versatile with songs and everything. And Melissa has sent me some songs. Well, Melissa, I can't find your song, and I know how good you are. You know how much I appreciate you, kiddo. You know how much I appreciate you. Okay. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'm out of here.